Yeah, Hare Krishna. I can only speak for a half hour today, so you have to please excuse me. I've been, we have a group of 25 people here, mostly from New York, and this is their last day, and they come in to my place to chant japa at 6 o'clock, which is about another half hour. So reading from the Jiva Dharma, I believe it's chapter 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On hearing all this, Mahari Mahasai said, kindly instruct me on Shuddha Vaishnav Dharma. I am taking shelter at your lotus feet in my old age. Please accept me. I have heard that if one has previously accepted Diksha and Siksha from an unqualified guru, he should be initiated and receive instruction again when he meets a genuine guru. I've been hearing your pure instructions for several days. My faith in Vaishnav Dharma has been awakened. Please instruct me about Vaishnav Dharma, and then sanctify me by giving initiation. Babaji Mahasai began slightly ill at ease and replied, oh, Mahasai, I will certainly instruct you as far as I'm able, but I'm not fit to be a Diksha Guru. Nonetheless, you may now take instructions on Shuddha Vaishnav Dharma. Omigana Timarandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Taksur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sa Padantikam. So, greetings from Sri Vrindavan Dham. It's been quite hectic. I described that kind of when I came to Vrindavan, I hit the ground running. I was in Moscow before that, and it was such a nice program in the Shanti Shakti, which belongs to Ananda Govardhan, my disciple. And I just come down every day to the Satsang Hall, and such nice people come. And then I got into Vrindavan, and that very day, 25 people came. And we've been going. Yesterday, quite a few of them went on the whole Govardhan Prakram. And some of them did Dandavat Prakram with Radha Kund. Plus, a group went to the Taj Mahal, different types of people. But it's really wonderful. And since most of them are in New York, they're wonderful contacts for me, and many of them own yoga studios and are inviting me to come and speak at those places. And of course, being back in Vrindavan is just so uplifting. It's so spiritually inspiring. I mean, the day we came, we brought them into the temple on Sunday, which is packed. And the quality of the kirtan, as people get more and more expert in the line of Shuddha Nam, of pure kirtan, of doing kirtan, not as a subject that looks at others as objects. There is not as the center, but as the subject and looking at, as the object and looking at Krishna's subject, seeing the kirtan in the audience of Krishna rather than seeing the people in your audience. And, you know, and also the discipline of music, people have become very expert. And what to speak of that tal and that rag. When the tal, the rhythm is right, and the rag is right, it has the tal and the rag has a real deep connection to the inner parts of one's psyche that inspires the exact type of sentiments that are conducive to attach one to the object of one's meditation and increase that absorption. We've all seen that, which is why kirtan is the best yoga. And of course, just a sideline comment, and then I'm going to get into the text. And I'm hoping in a very short while I'll be able to give something. But I've seen how, you know, what is bhakti is what God wants. Pradyumna Prabhu, my illustrious godbrother, said bhakti means to make oneself available. Available for what? The voice of God. Not the voice of one's mind, unless one's mind is in tune with God, or is doing what's right. So God dictates to different people at different times according to his desire for us to become purified and his need for service in this world. So God dictates in various ways, and I can see he's dictating for me a much more active life. Not that I'm remembering the good old days when no one would see me in Vrindavan, or I wouldn't have to see anybody in Vrindavan before noon. There weren't that many people in Vrindavan, and I would have much more time to concentrate on these studies and the writing. But also, just right now, usually I've been in Vrindavan just studying and preparing. Now, so busy, and woke up in the morning, got ready for the class. But by God's grace, I really relish this particular section. And the Jiva Dharma deals systematically, the book we're reading, with tattvas, truths, understandings of different subjects. Like here, we're getting a little something of Guru Tattva, the truth about Guru, just a little tidbit. In this story of people coming to Krishna consciousness, and we're on the story where the Sannyas Thakur, who himself had just been enlightened by Prem Das Babaji, begins to instruct. He's a very qualified person, Hari, who's a aristocratic and somewhat proud, but not hopelessly proud, aristocratic Brahmin. And we're watching him being enlightened. And the instructions that Sannyas Thakur gives touch his heart. And that, in one sense, is Guru Tattva. It goes beyond one's intellect. But it's God guiding one's intellect or guiding one's thoughts to inspire another person to come closer to him. So that's happened here. And therefore, Sannyas Thakur, who's now not known as Vaishnav Das, has become his guru. Something has come through. Therefore, feeling this, Lahari, feeling this, wants more instructions because he found that source, that well of knowledge. And really, who doesn't want guidance and the proper instructions? Because everything in our life is based on the decisions we make. Who doesn't want to find a source of wisdom? And the ultimate wisdom is not just negotiating this world, it's getting out of this world. Or not even getting out of this world, but connecting with God is a more reasonable way to say that. So he wants that instruction. And things that Vaishnav Das said has touched him. Just like, you know, he was trying to do some... He now moved into the ashram, and he had a little kutir next to... Mahari had a kutir next to Vaishnav Das, a sort of snake. He became fearful. And then he got some, you know, wonderful instructions of the qualification for doing that type of bhajan. You can't be disturbed in the world. If you're disturbed, you have to be more active. because you're just dealing with your mind. And if your mind is disturbed, you can't do this type of bhajan that they do in this kunj of Gojrum Dweep, where they sit down and they chant 2 lakhs. You know, they meditate 8, 10, 12 hours a day. Your mind can't be disturbed. It can't move outwards by worldly emotions, including fear. And he heard it in such a lucid way, it just struck him, and it actually made him fearless. And that's one thing that knowledge does. Knowledge makes us fearless. Because knowledge helps us to see what's actually there, and what's actually there is not that bad. What we perceive is there is not that, it is bad, not what actually is there. So, now he wasn't a Vaishnava before, he was a Shakta. Impersonalist, he was a smarta Brahmin, just following the rules of the Shastra, not really understanding him deeply. So he was initiated, but he wasn't initiated in a Vaishnav line. So therefore, he's understanding that my gurus weren't genuine, because it says, Sadkarma Nipano Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharda. Someone may know Sadkarma Nipano Vipro. He must know all different karmas, Mantra Tantra Visharda, and all the different mantras and tantras and karmas. A Vaishnava, Guruna Syat, Swata, Vaishnava Go, Swaguru, a Vaishnava, Guruna Syat, Vaishnava, Swapachogu. If you're a Vaishnava, if you're humble, if you're really, your desire is actually to be what you are, which is part of something greater than yourself, and accept dictation from that, then you're qualified. And if you're not, if your objective is still material, or that's the guru's objective, not understanding Bhagavan, then you can be initiated again if you meet someone who's actually a Vaishnav guru. And by hearing these instructions, his in Shuddha Dharma, in Vaishnav Dharma, he realizes the profundity of it. He realizes the truth of it. It's not just an intellectual exercise. He's experienced that energy of love. And that's given him faith. That's given him trust. That's given him trust in God. But Babaji Mahasai, he says, I give you instructions, I'm not qualified. Whether he's qualified or not, that should be the mood. More or less, we can say he's feeling it's not my duty, because my initiating guru is here in the ashram. It's not my duty. He's not feeling qualified. Even if it was his duty, he wouldn't feel qualified. He wouldn't think he's guru. He would think, as a service to his guru, I may take that position. But he doesn't have that upadhi, that ego, that designation. So he learned so many things just from the interactions of these Vaishnavas. I know, being in India and being in the association of very nice Vaishnavas here at the Krishna Balaram Mandir, and elderly people who are Vaishnavas, and just in general knowing elderly sadhus and people experienced in Vaishnav culture, I learned so much just by being with them, just by seeing them. So we learned so much. And here, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, by his mercy, he's written this novel or manifest this history, or whichever way you look at it, this story, where we see We're privileged to enter in to the exchanges of elevated souls, both culturally and spiritually. So now he wants to take instruction. And the first instruction in Shuddha Vaishnava Dharma is the right conception of reality and the appropriate means to realize it. And that's called Sambandha Gyan. And understanding reality means understanding the energies of God and the relationship between those energies and God. This is called Sambandha Tattva. And if you don't have Sambandha Tattva, the truth about reality, then you can't execute devotional service. Because if you're of the misconception that there's no soul, or the misconception that your soul is God, or the misconception that God is material, which are all prominent misconceptions in different lines of thought, then how can you love God? You don't even believe God exists. You believe you exist. You believe God is material, or you believe you are material. What's the question of bhakti? Therefore, metaphysical knowledge, Sambandha Gyan, understanding the relationship between gods and energies, matures into Sambandha Gyan, understanding of our relationship with God. And 80% of Shastra is Sambandha Gyan, metaphysical knowledge, having the proper understanding, because there's a philosophical term in, I guess, Indian philosophy called Siddho Pradesh, that if you have certain information, it implies an understanding of other information. Like, if you know God, Krishna is God, and that you are God's servant, then it implies that you should perform devotion, bhakti, to realize him. So there's not as much about the abhideya again, the process, because the metaphysical understanding dictates the process, suggests the process. So now that he's asked to be the disciple of Vaishnava Thakur, Thakur says, I will instruct you. And what he's going to instruct him on is the concept of Sambandha Gyan, metaphysical knowledge based on understanding the relationship between God and God's energies. So let's read a bit. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the original guru of the entire world. So he's going to speak, but on what basis? On the basis that he himself is connected to an authority of knowledge. And without that connection, you can't have knowledge. Because understanding or knowledge is beyond our present perception. We don't need a teacher. If we actually see the truth, then what do we need the teacher for? When you are seeking, it's understood that your perception and understanding is limited. And therefore, although you may have certain truths and understanding, you don't have a complete understanding. And therefore, there's a whole gamut of truth. There's a whole body of truth that is beyond your perception and understanding, which won't be realized unless you seriously consider it, and that takes faith. So unless you have teacher who is an authority, and you have faith in that teacher, You yourself cannot be a teacher. Your understanding and teaching is too limited. And I know, I see that. I know there's this one incredible, charismatic scholar. He's just so learned. He has a big, beautiful temple here in Vrindavan. And he has some really kind of karma. He was like tall, must be in his 90s now, younger. He was tall, he was like incredibly handsome, like it looked like he was Krishna. And he studied and traveled India and became one of the most learned persons and composed things. But because he never had guru, he never could have an understanding beyond his karma, no matter how great it was. And then you miss simple truths, like surrender to guru. And different understandings of how your actions and words are reflecting your ego rather than being connected with a true understanding of the soul. So he's going to explain, but he says, I'm in line. I heard from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the original guru of the entire world, just explained. He's in a line of teachers. And that line of teachers, this is also Guru Tattva, that line of teachers, it goes back. It goes back to God someplace. Otherwise, how can it start? It is not an original source of knowledge. As there's some place where no teacher is required, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna also accepted gurus to show us the method of receiving knowledge. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was enlightened by Ishwara Puri, and Krishna went to the ashram of Sandipani Muni. So Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the original guru of the entire world, has explained that there are three fundamental principles in Vaishnava Dharma. Sambandha Tattva, knowledge of one's relationship with Srihari. Abhideya Tattva, the means by which the ultimate goal is achieved. And Prayojana Tattva, the ultimate goal of Krishna praying. A Shuddha Vaishnav or Shuddha Bhakta is one who knows these three principles and acts in accordance with them. You have to have knowledge, and then you have to act in according with that knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge, then how will you know what to do? So knowledge is essential, and he's saying in any philosophical system, there must be an understanding of reality. There must be an explanation of the means to understand that reality, and there must be also an understanding and description of the experience of doing so, or the result of understanding reality. And in Shuddha Vaishnava Dharma, the ultimate reality is Sri Krishna, God, and his energies. That's called Sambandhagyan. That's our Sambandhagyan. Knowledge of one's relationship. Abhideya Tattva, or Abhideya Gyan, the means, bhakti, which is the means of realizing it, and Prayojana Tattva, which is Krishna praying, which is the goal of or the result of realizing reality. What is the result of your realization of the absolute truth? In existentialism, the ultimate reality is void. Or meaningless, and then the result of realizing it is suicide. And I explained before, I was speaking with Mahamuni's professor, that philosophers, if they don't agree with existentialism, they at least appreciate that they have the integrity to embrace their conclusions of a meaningless life by the contemplation of suicide. So now he's going to discuss the first principle, and with that, I'm going to have to probably situate myself towards the door here as people may come for my morning japa. It's early for them. 1 second. Well, I'll continue till they come. There's no guarantee they'll come. Okay. The first principle, Sambandha-tattva, includes three separate topics. The first topic is the material world. This is our metaphysical knowledge. That's called Jada-jagat, material world. Or the fundamental truth regarding the potency to generate solutions. So the first thing is understanding Mayaka Tattva. The second topic is the living beings, the jivas. And the third is the fundamental truth regarding the predominated entity. Oh, wait. Okay. First topic is the Prabhupada put it very simply. He said, matter, spirit, controller of both. That's what exists in this world. Matter, spirit, controller of both. And matter means the material world, Maya Tattva. Spirit means the living entities or the predominated tattva, the predominated truth, and the third is Bhagavan, or the predominating, the Prabhu tattva. Sri Bhagavan is one without a second and endowed with all potencies. He is all attractive, the exclusive abode of opulence and sweetness, and is the sole shelter for all jivas. Although he's the only, I guess first it's going to explain what is God. Come on in. Okay, leave that door open out there. Krishna, come in. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else coming? What? Okay, sit here. I am talking something. Megan, I give class every day, every Wednesday and Sunday on phone.
Really?
Yeah. For about 6 years. I'll give you that information if you'd like it. Because it's 8 p.m. on Wednesday. That's why I'm calling now. I'm speaking now and giving a class. And it's 9 a.m. on Sunday. So if you're never out and you want to hear some, I'm teaching different sacred texts. Okay. Okay, people are basically coming. Would anybody here like to say hello? Are people still on? Hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, yes, we're here. Well, I'm here.
Okay. Who else is there?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gautam Bhakta Das.
Govardhan, hello. Yeah. Okay, the crew is there. Anybody else? Hare Krishna, anybody else? Okay, thank you.